This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
The telco industry in Malaysia is one that's evolved drastically over the number of years. At the end of 2014, there were only a handful of telco operators in our country. But the rise of mobile virtual network operators, or MVNO, over the recent years have seen the number of operators risen drastically. And with this rise also comes competition. And earlier this year, Yudu was launched and claims to offer you the first ever fully customizable mobile plan, hence the name Yudu. And with me today is the head of Yudu, Farid Yunus. Farid, welcome to the show. We have to start at the beginning itself, because starting a new operator comes with a lot of challenges. So how did this all begin?
Well, put simplistically, there were a few factors behind its creation. But first and foremost is, as a 25-year-old or more telco, Celcom has many different systems and platforms that have evolved over the years. Some of them evolve beyond all recognition. You know, you have some programmer who makes some changes, then he leaves, and you get new vendors coming in. So, and it's not unique to Celcom. I think old telcos around the world face the same challenge, in that we have very clunky legacy systems. So in this new digital age, we find it very hard to cope and be agile. It takes maybe 2-3 months for us to change our rate plan, a tariff, something simple as that. And, you know, consumers have very low esteem, low regard for their telcos. You know, if you look at the net promoter score among telcos, it typically ranges from 5 to negative. But if you've got other people like Facebook and Uber and all these guys, they have an NPS of 40, 50, 60. And to get there, we had to do something drastic. Either you blow up the building and start from scratch, which you can't do because you're servicing 10 million subscribers.
Yeah.
Or you can try and build a new greenfield operator, like a thick MVNO, outside of the existing ecosystem. So although we are a wholly owned division of Celcom, we act like a startup. We act like a thick MVNO, having our own billing, our own CRM, etc., with nothing to do with Celcom apart from the network.
Right, just the infrastructure that they that you're riding on at this moment.
Just the network infrastructure.
Just the network infrastructure.
The whole IT infrastructure, we built our own in a period of 7 months from scratch. And we act like a startup. So, for example, our BSS, our billing side, is actually hosted on AWS in Singapore. Our CRM is actually Zendesk, and I pay $50 per license for my own credit card. You know, real startup-like mentality.
Right. So how did that, you know, got approval from, because you're wholly owned by Celcom Axiata. So how was that discussion like? Then how did that happen?
Very difficult. Well, if you're going
but to... But they bought into it finally.
Yes, because at first we were looking at Yudu being just another department within Celcom, another brand, a new digital brand. And I made the point very forcefully that if we did it that way, and conforming to the same Celcom processes and policies and procedures, it would fail. If you want to act like a startup and be agile, you have to have the operational independence of a startup. So, and I had a very supportive CEO at the time, Michael Kuna, and we went to the board and we asked for a separate independent delegation of authority. So basically, me and the CEO are the steering committee, and no one else needs to give any sort of approvals for purchases or pricing. For otherwise, I'd have to go back to Celcom's agency just to change the color of an ad.
Yeah.
And that's not going to work. So yeah, I was very grateful that we managed to get that operational independence.
And it's all about being agile in the space where consumers demand a lot and they want the change to be done immediately as well, right? And this is not something new in Europe. We've seen, you know, kind of similar to Yudu kind of plans and all. What's different about Yudu here in Malaysia? Like, how did you localize this to cater to the Malaysian context?
Well, from a platform perspective, you know, you probably won't see too much difference between what we're offering and what some of the other European digital brands are doing. In fact, they started earlier, so they have since evolved the UI, the features, and they offer more sexier features. And we're getting there. We actually launched in January this year with a minimum viable product. And so every 4 weeks, we're adding new features with each sprint. And we hope to have something that looks just as good as the European guys. How do we localize? So technically, you can't really do a Malaysian mobile plan, for example. A plan is a plan. But we try to be as local as we can with our advertising and how we go to market.
Mm-hmm.
You know, very, very local, current trends. We like to do, we like to spoof things.
And the name itself also, it feels it's a very Malaysian thing of saying, you do.
You do it lah. You know, so you know, the consumers complain that, oh, I hate my telco plan. We retort back, you do it yourself or you do it better.
Yeah, so that idea being the first ever fully customizable mobile plan, how much of customization here is this to the user?
Well, at the moment, it's you can choose how much voice you want, how much SMS you want, how many SMS you want, and how much data you want. And you can change that quota every 30 days. Because typically, and I shouldn't say this or the telcos will get mad with me, how we sort of make money from consumers is I sell you unlimited and I charge you a high monthly fee. And you're happy. There's no bill shock. You know, it's unlimited. But the reality is the average consumer only uses 3 or 4 gig a month in Malaysia. So why are you playing for the so-called unlimited quota when all you need is 4 gig?
Mm.
And Yudu gives you that option.
Right. And coming up with that plans and finding the sweet spot in making sure that the pricing still works as well, because we're still driven by price. It's a price war when it comes to telco. Mm. How did you find, you know, that if I were to offer X amount of data, X amount of voice and SMS, it's still competitive with the, you know, larger telco players?
Well, initially, we tried to benchmark against our parent, against Celcom. So when we launched, our prices were more or less comparable from a data perspective with Xpax and also Celcom First.
Yeah.
But the beauty of being agile is we hear the customer feedback, and they were complaining that we were too expensive. But that's because you can't really compare apple to apple. For example, we don't have unlimited video, for example, or unlimited whatever for a high monthly fee. We don't have that. It's all bespoke to the person. And I'll give you a good example of agility. When SST came in, we actually dropped our prices. We dropped a lot of our data prices from between 10 to 20%, depending on the size of the bundle, rather than increasing our prices. So now I think we're pretty competitive. And we made that change. We sat around in a room. We looked at what's going on in the market. We said, hey, let's drop. Bear in mind, Yudu is a bit of an experiment for Celcom. We are trying to see what works, what doesn't work, and then hopefully translate those lessons back to the mothership.
Is that the goal then, in a way that, you know, because in Celcom itself, they've got the postpaid plans and then they've got the Xpax, the prepaid and the postpaid as well. And then they've got Yudu. Is it more about learning to see what the consumers are using Yudu for and then, you know, putting that learnings into the Celcom brand itself?
Yes, that's part of it. So Yudu will be exploratory. You know, we'll try new things. And if it fails, we quickly change and try something else. And that ability to quickly change and try something else is not something Celcom can do.
Mm-hmm.
And the other point to bear in mind is, if you're starting from zero, you have nothing to lose. But if you already have 10 million customers, if you were to drop prices, say, tomorrow, you would lose value from your existing customer base.
Mm-hmm.
So you can't be the price leader or the challenger or the innovator, really, because you have an existing revenue stream at risk.
But it's still being profitable at the end of the day.
You do.
Yeah.
Well, in the first year, once you include our marketing spend, et cetera, like any startup, I don't think you'll find a startup profitable in its first year.
But the plan is to be profitable.
Oh, of course, of course. Otherwise, what's the point? And because we have no retail channels, we are not paying commissions to dealers and distributors. So actually, our cost per customer acquisition is cheaper than the traditional methods.
So a lot of people also would say, like, how is that possible that, you know, if I were to sign up for a bundle that, you know, has the same amount of data, voice and SMS as my current plan, that, you know, it's about 100 ringgit cheaper. I went online, I checked online. It's about 100 ringgit cheaper than what I would normally pay if I were to move to Yudu itself.
You must be using that premium telco that shall go unnamed.
So how is that possible that you're able to offer more or less, you know, the same for, you know, 100 ringgit per month cheaper in, you know, while still riding on a large telco infrastructure? Yeah.
Well, you can look at it from two angles. First, for 100 ringgit, you're buying a lot of data. That's a lot of data. And you probably don't use all of that data. So we have breakage, is what we call it. So when I sell you 100 gig, I'm actually expecting you to only use 30 or 40.
Mm.
And so I can price it for 40 rather than price it for 100. The other point to make is we run Udo with 25 people versus the 3,000 plus that Cellcom has. So from a cost perspective, my only real cost is the network cost. And that's a sunk cost. Whether people use our data or don't use our data, we're still paying for that network.
Mm.
It's a bit like airline seats, you know? So think of us as the those airline seats that are still empty just before the flight, and we're selling you those.
Right. And are there any charges for those who continuously, you know, change their plan? Because you say you could change it within 30 days and it's done within the app or itself, right?
Yep.
Are there any charges for the changes that, you know, users would continuously make in order to find the sweet spot?
Of course not, because that's one of our main USPs. You can customize your plan whenever you want. So we won't penalize you if you reduce your price, like some telcos do. And likewise, we won't penalize you for increasing your monthly commitment.
Mm. And you mentioned that through, you know, you first had your MVP and then you slowly add on different features. What are some of the features that already is available with Udo?
Well, when we started out, I mean, some of these features are not sexy features, you know. We only accepted credit and debit cards. And the idea behind this was we will tokenize that payment. So we use Braintree, which is the PayPal digital payment gateway. So it becomes a very seamless and painless experience, the Uberization of telco services. But we found that a lot of Malaysians are not that comfortable giving away their credit or debit cards. And a lot of debit cards don't work for e-commerce. You have to call your bank up and say, hey, please enable it.
Mm.
So we saw a lot of people downloading. We saw a lot of people installing, a lot of people ordering SIM cards. But when it came to registering a credit or debit card, we saw a lot of people drop off and not go on to activate their SIMs. So payment channels is very important. So now we've added PayPal 2 months ago. And now we're adding online banking, hopefully by next month. Although this changes the user experience with online banking, there needs to be a manual intervention every month where the customer agrees to pay. We find we don't have a choice. We also added our Roam Like Home product, where you can take your local Malaysian data and voice and SMS quota and use it in 12 ASEAN countries. But more recently, we launched Roam Like Home 2. So we've expanded it to 41 countries now. For a flat monthly fee, you can take your 10 gig, 50 gig, 100 gig that you have in Malaysia and use it abroad.
And that, some would say, is something that the consumers have been demanding for a long time now, being able to use the vast amount of data that they pay on a monthly basis, being able to use it down in Singapore, in Thailand, or even when they travel to abroad as well.
Like home.
Like home, right? But it's been a very difficult task for many telcos to achieve this. How are you, you know, working? Because it's not just now Udo itself. It's now working with the foreign telco providers in getting them to also be on the same bandwagon as you. How was that conversation like?
I mean, we could do a whole 20 minutes or 2 hours on roaming and foreign operators. It's not easy to do because the inter-operator rates that we charge each other can be quite high depending on the country, depending on the operator.
Mm.
So even if you go to country X and you roam on the network that is not our partner, you can be charged a lot of money. So it's tricky. So what we did was, short of sending 10 people to fly around the world, we decided to do we crowdsourced our testing. So we launched Roam Like Home 2 now we call it Roam Like Home Plus, as a beta product. And we got our customers to use it. And from there, we could see which countries, which operators we had problems, even technical problems. Maybe your APN setting, Udo, is not recognized by that foreign telco. It was good. And we also got to see what was the average data utilization.
Mm.
And believe it or not, although you may have 10 gig local data quota, we found that most people, they go abroad maybe 2-3 days, they spend on average 0.3 gig a day. So with that knowledge, knowing that that's the average, and you got to play the averages. There'll be some outliers who use 5 gig and there'll be the opposite spectrum where they use, you know, 500 meg. But knowing what the average is, we managed to decide how to price our product.
Mm-hmm.
So for the ASEAN countries, it's 10 ringgit a day. And for the non-ASEAN countries outside, it's 20 ringgit a day. And we're still making money.
I'm speaking to Farid Yunus. He's the head of Yudu, the telco operator that offers you a fully customizable mobile plan. We'll be right back with more BFM 89.9.
Break from monotony. BFM 89.9.
Jeff Sandu here, and my guest for today is Farid Yunus. He's the head of Yudu, Malaysia's first ever fully customizable mobile plan. And early on, we spoke about how this all began and how are you able to offer more for less. Farid, a few weeks ago, I was traveling abroad and I decided to get myself on Yudu to test it out. And to my surprise, it took about 2 hours or so for me to get my SIM card delivered to my desk after signing up online. You're partnering up with GoGet for this. Was this part of the plan to get these SIM cards to your customers as fast as possible? Because you don't have a store.
So in the Klang Valley, and we're trying to expand this to other cities, in the Klang Valley, we launched together with GoGet, offering 2-hour premium delivery. And, you know, people like instant gratification. For outside the Klang Valley, unfortunately, it's still 1 to 3 days, but we're working on reducing that time. But I'm very excited about eSIM. So when eSIM becomes available, and Celcom is in the process of testing our platform now, we hope to become the first to use that platform. And then we will be 100% digital. You won't even need that physical SIM card sent to you anymore. If you have the latest iPhone and moving forward newer Android devices, I will provision your number, your SIM to you over the air. And we can't wait for that.
How big of a change the eSIM would bring to providers? Because you don't have to then manufacture these chips anymore. And in terms of the logistic, the back end, the IT, the infrastructure, how much of changes will that bring?
From an infrastructure perspective, not much. It's just buying a few more boxes. But from an industry perspective, it's going to be major. It's going to shake up the whole industry because you no longer have or require 10,000 dealers selling starter packs and SIM cards. You will still need reloads, but there won't be any more physical SIMs. And that's how our dealers make money. So the minute you launch eSIM, your business model has to change. But it will take several years for a sufficient range of devices to support these eSIMs, so it's not an immediate threat. And the other big disruptor is, imagine you buy a new phone, you turn it on, and it gives you a choice of your local telco providers. You choose which plan you want, you click Yudu, and immediately we provision the Yudu ID to you. But next month, you may decide, oh, I don't like Yudu. You can pull that menu down again, you click Xpacks, and you can change just like that.
Wow. Well, that's going to be a lot of power to the consumer.
That's right.
All right. Also, you started off very prominently in the digital front, marketing yourself. You know, every Facebook ad and you know, even if you go online, if you do a search, you would find Yudu would stick around in your digital journey, but not much so at this point of time. You seem to do less digital marketing. Why so?
Well, at the risk of angering my friends at Facebook and Google and YouTube, we were spending nearly 80% of our budget on digital for marketing in the first few months. And it was driving interest. It was driving installs, downloads and installs. But we still had relatively low SIM card activations. So we decided to do an experiment. I said, hey, let's stop doing digital altogether. And lo and behold, our downloads plummeted, really plummeted. But you know what? Our activations remained unchanged. And so I thought, why don't we put a physical billboard up in Johor Bahru? And we saw our activations grow sevenfold in the week after we put up that signage. So it dawned on us that we don't associate ourselves with Celcom. We try to be an independent brand. And so to the man on the street, Yudu is as trusted and recognizable as Syarikat XYZ. They don't know us. And that credibility is not there. But if you see a billboard or you hear Yudu on the radio, you know that this company is legitimate and credible. Because I'll ask you, when was the last time you clicked on a Facebook ad from a company or brand you never heard of before?
Yeah.
The answer is never, right? So we're spending more out of home. We're even spending on radio now and cinema ads. Please go down to... Shout out to TGV, who's showing our ads now. And we're finding it works. We've seen our activations grow by about 400% in the last 2 months per day versus what it was in the first 4 months.
Mm. Digital world seems a bit too noisy. You got to spend a lot of money, and then you don't have the trust. It's hard to build trust in a digital space.
If you're a new brand.
Right. But so digital is still going to be in parts of your plans moving forward now that you have a certain number of loyalty customers already. Do you see digital still being important in your push?
Yeah, for sure. We are a digital brand after all,
yeah.
So we can't abandon digital advertising. Now we're using it in a far more targeted way, based on interest, whether you're a gamer, whether you're a traveler, and we'll push those specific messages to you. Later, when we have other ancillary services, we'll use that to market and remarket these services based on your profile to us. So maybe hopefully increase your spend with us. But we will still maintain a mass market out of home just for awareness and trust.
Mm. Now, looking ahead, you talked about eSIM, but there's also talks about 5G coming into place. Then there's the IoT space with the Internet of Things. And Udo was born in a way to move into a space more faster than the traditional telco players. And there are many other areas that the telco providers seems to be a little bit slower. Are you looking into any specific areas? Besides just SIM cards at this point of time in trying to capitalize on the market for, Celcom Axiata itself?
Well, telcos are notoriously bad at being innovative, We try to launch our own version of WhatsApp. We try to launch our own version of Netflix, and it seldom or almost never works out. Because at the end of the day, we are not a startup whose next meal depends on innovation.
Mm.
Udo's perspective is we will partner with other digital providers to create a digital ecosystem that hopefully customers will see value in. We want to be big on gaming, so we're trying to work with Tencent at the moment. And
is mobile gaming specifically that you're looking at?
Oh, of course, mobile gaming. Anything that requires you to use our data. I mean, there has to be some relation there.
Mm.
But even if I give you Steam credits in lieu of airtime, or we have PUBG tournaments, live broadcasts on Twitch TV, just creating that ecosystem. But at the end of the day, our core will still have to be access, because that's our USP. A startup can't start tomorrow and sell you data. Mm. You need spectrum, you need a network.
And how many of your users do you have currently, active users for Udo?
I could tell you. But I'm sure our other digital competitors would like to know.
And in terms of demographic, are you looking to target more of this, the younger generation who are, gamers, or you're looking to cater to any Malaysian because it's a fully customizable plan?
I'll give you a little nugget. We are almost on track for our business plan on daily activations, which I think is very good because we were far off track at the start when we first launched. Mm-hmm. So we're starting to see that hockey stick inflection point.
And what changed?
We started doing more collaboration with 11th Street, with Lazada, with Boost, our sister at Axiata, the payment company, and just cross-promoting to each other's customer base has worked quite well.
So, like, what's Udo's goal, end goal? What are you looking forward to? Is Udo going to be, it's an independent operator in the future? Do you plan to see that happening, or are you still going to be, piggybacking on Celcom's network infrastructure?
Well, we're not a separate company. I can't tell the future, but what has happened to other digital brands in, say, Europe? Sometimes they grow so big that they end up being absorbed by the parent.
Hmm.
As a separate brand, and the parent may even kill off their competing brand, and this becomes the main brand. But whether we will hive off and become a separate company, and I become a shareholder, and we go for a listing, that's never going to happen.
Not in Udo's plan at this point in time.
Well, Udo answers to Celcom, yeah. Celcom answers to the board, and the board is Axiata.
And in 2019, what are you looking forward to? There's a whole bunch of, streaming, online streaming now seems to be a big thing. People love, YouTube and Facebook. What are you looking forward to in 2019? And what sort of challenges did you think you would face in 2019?
Well, I think we're in for another round of price war. Credit also to our new telecommunications minister, who has put a lot of downward pressure on the fixed broadband business. And although I think mobile is already hyper-competitive, I think we're going to come under pressure there as well. And I also expect other digital brands to be solidified, because they've already emerged in Malaysia, to be improved and mount a challenge to us. I mean, all you need to go to Google Play Store, look at Yoodoo and see how many downloads we've had versus other brands that have launched in Malaysia, and you'll see the difference in scale.
And what's the rating like in the
four?
Google Play?
We're four.
Yeah, wow. Okay.
And I'm very, very proud to say that in our first year, our main KPI was not revenue or subs, to be fair. Our main KPI was Net Promoter Score, NPS. So as I mentioned earlier, telcos get zero or negative or five or negative. Every month, we poll 100 customers at random. And our NPS has been consistently above 40 from the time we launched. So we are in the realm of Grab and Uber.
And that's what you plan to be later on in the future as well, so to continue to be in that.
Yeah, because if you build it right and people like you, people recommend you, eventually, hopefully, they will come.
All right. Yeah, Farid, it's been a pleasure speaking to you. Thank you.
Hey, my pleasure. Thank you.
I've been speaking to Farid Yunus. He's the head of Yoodoo, talking about the rise of MVNO in Malaysia and what's Yoodoo's plans in the long run. My name is Jeff Sandu, and this has been Tech Talk. And if you missed any parts of the show, you can download the podcast. It's available on the BFM website, or better yet, get the BFM app. This is BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.